cliffcentral.com. The Unview, the Thin, the Rich, and the Fabulous on cliffcentral.com.
Good morning, good morning, good morning to you. It's Alan Ford here on The Unview, the Rich and the Fabulous, and it's good to be with you this Thursday. Johannesburg, beautiful weather, Cape Town, rocking and rolling. Summer is definitely in full swing this month. But of course, it's also been quite a sad week for South Africa, for South African rugby, for a family that I think loved their son, their father, and their husband to the end of the earth and back. I'll discuss it because I was very close to this man and I loved him with all my heart. We'll get to that in a moment. Also, we've got Dova Dola, actress Machit Meyer, later on the show. We've got Barry Hilton. We'll have a laugh a little bit later on. And then we're also going to talk to AKA Jericho Ryan and Gerald Lotz. So that's all the theatre stuff coming up later. We're not doing a restaurant because the opening of the show is going to be a dedication to rugby legend, a good friend of mine, Josef van der Westhuizen. I want to tell you that I have travelled to quite a few countries with this man and spent quite a lot of time with this man, and I had lots of fun with this person. He was a very fun person. He was a very compassionate person. He was a very kind person. He was cuckoo in the head, and he was my friend, and I loved having a friend like this in my life. Special things that we did together, myself, Jonathan Firth, and him played on the Zambian, just outside the Victoria Falls, outside the Royal Livingston Hotel, with Amor, his wife. Jeannie Dew was dating Jonathan at the time, watching us. We played naked rugby at night. We were drunk. It was really fun. We bungee jumped together. We went off to London together. We went to Dubai together and did all the foofy slides, and it was really fun at the Atlantis and for our birthdays because we share a day apart. He was a very, you know, things happen in life. People make mistakes. That doesn't take away their brilliance or the work that they've done or how good they were as a father or how good they were as a son. But he was a special man. And so we'll start, open the show with a dedication to this man. We've got Stefan de Blanche coming onto the show. We've got Odette Swegler, who is the author and producer of The Glory Game. And I want to open the show with, I think, one of the biggest radio legends of all time, Jeremy Mansfield. And Jeremy, of course, knew Joost, a big rugby fan, a big supporter, a man of his. And so, Jeremy Mansfield, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. And yes, to just maybe do a dedication to Joost. How are you, Jer?
Yeah, I'm okay, thanks, Alan. Thank you for having me on the show. I think you've summed it up. You know what? He was compassionate. He was kind. He was a good person. I think, as happens with a lot of people in any sphere of life, when ego comes into it, that's when things unwind. Mm. And I think ego did come into it at one stage, and that's when things unwind. But he managed to repack everything into a bag and put it aside. But as you say, he was very compassionate. I did a lot of charity work with him. I'm an ambassador for the Springbok Supporters Club. Mm. So we did a lot of charity work together. He was always prepared to drop everything for any charity and get out there and get his hands dirty. Not just arrive and appear, but actually get his hands dirty and get into the real work. And he was undoubtedly probably the finest number nine that the world has ever seen. And he was, as you say, he was a bit cuckoo. But you know what? Cuckoo's not bad. Eh?
No, cuckoo's good, Jeremy. We love to be
cuckoo's
a bit...
Cuckoo's good.
Cuckoo's good.
Exactly.
We live in a crazy, mad, horrific world sometimes. You've got to be a bit mad with it. You have to.
Exactly. And he did. He did go off the rails every now and again and do some really crazy shit.
Jeremy, we've all done it. It's great.
Exactly. Exactly, and that's what makes life fun.
That's what makes
people interested.
That is true, Jeremy. I'll tell you a wonderful story because it's really great. I was in Franschhoek, met a guy that I kind of had a connection with, and he started asking me about my relationship with Joost, and then he went into a very interesting thing, and he said that his friend has just been diagnosed with the same illness, and I said, well, take me there because let's try and help him. So we drove to Hermanus, met the friend, had Joost on the line. Joost, 1 month later, came up with the J9 Foundation. We did a fundraiser, raised close to 300,000 rand for this man who had no medical aid. He was 31 years old with three kids. You know, they're going through quite a rough time right now because they're also coming towards this point where, you know, you just say, let peace be with that person as they go on. But again, to be able to do that in 1 month, raise those funds, donate the jersey, pull it off, is a really special thing. It's a really special thing.
That's the sort of person he was. And you know what? I also want to just say one thing and pay tribute to somebody who has backed yours since this all started happening. A gentleman by the name of Gavin Varegas.
The best, Gavin.
Gavin was stood by Joost and helped him through a lot of the financial problems that come with a disease like this because it costs a lot of money. And I know that Gavin dug deep, and I think we just need to doff our caps to him.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you for coming on the show. A great radio man you are, a great man you are in many senses. But I knew that it would be so appropriate because you loved him to comment. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Alan. Have a good day.
Thank you, Jeremy. That's radio legend Jeremy Mansfield joining us on the line. And of course, when we look at the greats of rugby, we talk about an organization in South Africa that basically supports and praises South African rugby legends, and they're called the South African Rugby Legends Association. On the line, I've got, and I'm honoured to have the brilliant Springbok, Stefan Tablanche. Stefan, thank you for joining us, and of course, this is a dedication to Joost van der Westhuizen, but you work with a whole bunch of rugby legends, and he was one of them.
Absolutely. Good morning, and thank you very much for affording me this opportunity to talk about this great man. It's funny that Jeremy mentioned Gavin Varegas in his last sentence there. Gavin is also our president of the South African Rugby Legends, so he's really my boss. And I think people don't have any idea. I don't even think that I have an idea of how much time and effort. Look, money is one thing, but you know, the time this man has for people like you and what he's given back to South Africa, to the sporting society, but also just in general to charitable organizations is something that is really humbling. But to pay tribute to Joost, I mean, what a great man. Had the privilege, firstly, or should I say that, I don't know if it was a privilege playing against this guy, because he was always the guy that you don't want to play against, but the guy that you wanted in your team. So obviously playing against him when he was representing the Bulls, my first time I was still playing for Boerland, I remember that. It was quite a daunting prospect going to Loftus and facing the mighty Bulls with Joost at the helm. And then had the opportunity to play with Joost and being captained by him as well during my Springbok career, obviously a lot shorter than his 89 test matches for South Africa. But also being captained in the 1999 World Cup. We played together again at the 2003 World Cup at Corne. Krisha was the captain then, but Joost leading the team in the 99 World Cup to third place, where we beat the All Blacks.
When something like this happens in the sporting field, we saw it with Hansi, we said now with Joost, we were able to reflect back on the fact that, you know, rugby sport in South Africa changes lives. It changes the way kids see things. And of course, this is what your organization does as the South African Rugby Legends.
Without a doubt. I mean, the great Nelson Mandela said that, you know, sport has the power to change not only society, but a whole country. And, you know, and heal, you know, previous wrongdoings, whatever it may be. But that's what we're trying to do. We've got such a big passion for the game of rugby. It's given us so much, you know, the South African Rugby Legends. These guys, you know, we try and give back some of that passion, passing on the passion, as we call it, to the young kids in South Africa, because a lot of them, you know, they're through tough times. A lot of them are in rough areas, you know, drugs, you know, single parents. It's a tough life for some of these kids, and we just want to give them a little bit of enjoyment, a little bit of fun, and also the good values, discipline, the camaraderie, the friendships, the teammates that we've made in rugby. I mean, it stands you in such good stead. Some of us are into business now. We have to sit in boardrooms instead of in changing rooms, and it's just, you know, there's just so much you can learn from the sport, and we just want to make sure that we pass some of that on to the young kids of South Africa.
Talking about US Funivestas, and what are some of your greatest memories, personally?
Well, I wouldn't say it's much of a memory. It's more like, again, as I said, the first time I played against him, you don't sleep for a couple of weeks because you know it's coming your way. And that was my first test for South Africa. We played in Bloemfontein. We played against Ireland. It was my first. USF obviously played probably over 50 tests by then. And we have a little process or initiation after a rugby game or after your first test for South Africa. Of course, US, Mark Andrews and James Dalton were the ones looking after me after my first Springbok test. So that's something that I'll remember. I was honored and privileged to have been introduced to Springbok rugby and being handed my blazer, because when you play your first test, only then are you allowed to wear your Springbok rugby blazer. And US was a guy who passed me that blazer, and the Springbok blazer, something that's very dear to my heart, but also a great memory and a great privilege to have had the opportunity to not only play for the Springboks, to play with US in the same team, but also to receive my blazer from him.
My friend, I wish you well, and of course we reflect over this time and we remember how great the sport of rugby is, how great the games is, that this brings people together. And of course we saw it with Invictus, we saw it with Nelson Mandela, we saw it with the World Cups that we've won and sometimes not won. But yeah, thank you for joining me, my friend.
It's a pleasure.
Be well. And that is rugby legend himself, the CEO of SA Rugby Legends, Stefan Terblanche. Thank you for joining us. And, of course, we had Jerry Mansfield earlier. Someone that has spent some time working and making the magic of this man's life come through onto paper and then into a documentary film was Odette Schwegler. I welcome her to the show. Producer and author of Glory Game, the US Fund of Essays and Story. Odette, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course, this is you worked very closely over the past 4 years. Your greatest memories working with this man and, of course, filming it and putting it down in paper?
Oh, there are so many US memories, and all of them incredible. He just was the most incredible man. And as a crew working with him, I mean, initially people said to me, oh, what are you doing? This is going to be so sad. And we all kind of braced ourselves for that. But it actually wasn't, you know, and it wasn't sad at all, because Joost made every single day fun. No matter how difficult it was for him, and, you know, obviously as he deteriorated, it became more and more difficult to do all sorts of things. But Joost just always made it fun. And he had the most incredible sense of humor. I mean, the one thing, when we were in New York, it was freezing. It was like minus 10 or something. It was really cold. And we all needed to buy beanies. And Joost bought for himself this Angry Bird beanie. And at the time, he was wheelchair bound and he couldn't use his arms or his legs. But this Angry Bird would just chase the crew around Central Park from his wheelchair. It was, you know, that was the kind of stuff he did that was just brilliant, you know. I can't say enough about what an incredible human being Joost van der Westhuizen was. You know, I obviously didn't know him when he was playing. I'm a journalist, and I've had some dealings with him, and I actually used to think he was quite arrogant, and he knows this, he knows the story. Mm. And so I didn't really like him before, but through this journey, it was just so incredible to get to know the man behind the fame. And that man was the most humble, caring, giving human being. And, it was just a great privilege to work with him.
That being said, he also was fun, and he made you laugh, and he looked at the brighter side. That was the, you know, it's. I spoke about it at his, I think, 43rd birthday, with his mom and dad and his family. It was actually quite funny. Mm. But you know, I'm a gay guy, and I was like, I've had the opportunity, and this you're going to laugh at, and he started laughing, to actually sleep with Joost van der Westhuizen, and then they started laughing, and I said, well, let me explain to you what happened. We kind of got nervous. He had just been diagnosed. We were in Dubai. And I thought to myself, is the heart, you know, he was breathing heavy. So I said, don't worry, I'll sit next to you, you know, watch the TV. And I fell asleep next to him on the bed. And I woke up with him looking at me going, what the hell are you doing in the bed? Obviously dressed. But I mean, it showed the sense of humor of this man. He didn't judge people. He loved people. He loved people across the board, and I think, you know, if you look at him as a character and as a human being, he didn't. One thing he did, I never remember him saying bad things about people or bad words about people. He just got on with it and rather spoke about the positive. I think that what I took away from him.
Yeah, he was always incredibly positive. No matter, even on bad days, you know. And I mean, even after the cameras stopped rolling a few years ago, we obviously, you know, we became like family. And even on the tough days, he just never gave up hope, and he just always stayed positive. And you know, something else that I take from him as a lesson is, he never wanted anyone to feel sorry for him. And that was so important, that you know, that he be just treated normally and handled normally. And that was, you know, one of the things I took from him about, you know, just not being inwardly centered, and selfish, where you know, when you're sick, it's easy to feel sorry for yourself. And he never did, not one single moment of one single day.
Adette, I mean, I know that the obviously the Peace Glory Game, the US Fund of Essays and Story, it's still on bookshelves. I see that it's on, even on the Mnet, not the catch up. You know, you can purchase it. By the way, it's just come onto the, you know, the, you can buy the, you know, watch movies.
It's back on box office.
Box office. Thank you. Sorry, it's back on. It's actually the leading film at the moment. Yeah. I tune in. That's why I saw it and watched it again. Again, a brilliant piece. But I know that this piece goes back into the work that he did for NM and for a lot of other things. Tell us about, if people want to go get the book and want to get involved with the work that he did.
Okay, well, you know, shortly after he was diagnosed, I think most people know this, he set up the J9 Foundation, and the J9 Foundation essentially works to support people with motor neuron disease in a very one-on-one way. You know, families that are part of our support group, if someone needs a wheelchair, we get a wheelchair to them. If someone needs a backpack or just someone to hold their hand, we help with that. So that's the J9 Foundation. Now, the other thing, interestingly, that came out of the making of the film was, part of what we did when we were overseas was we traveled to centers of excellence where there's a lot of research going on, and where patients with motor neuron disease can get access to multidisciplinary care. So pulmonologists, neurologists, speech therapists, et cetera, et cetera. And nothing like that at that time existed in South Africa. And Yus just said to me, Odie, we need a center. We need to do this stuff in South Africa because, you know, we have to get research going there. We have to get patient care up. And so we came back and we established the Yus Fund of Essays and Center for Neurodegeneration. And what we started doing is working with public hospitals to set up MND clinics. We've set up one at Groote Schuur, one at Tigerberg, one at Chris Hani Baragwanath, and also to ignite research and then ultimately to bring clinical trials to South Africa, because at the moment clinical trials in MND do not exist in South Africa. And so it's a massive mountain to climb, but we're not stopping. The Yus Fund of Essays and Story doesn't stop here. I made my friend a promise that we carry on with this work, and we will carry on this work. So anyone who wants to support it, you're welcome to put my contact details up on the website. Can just get hold of me via email, and I can direct them both. If they want to support J9 and or the center, I can give them the correct details.
And I'm going to add something to this, and I know, Adette, you would do it, that if people have just been confronted with this illness and they don't know what to do and how to deal with it, especially when they don't have enough funds, get a hold of these two organizations. They can help you.
For people who've just been diagnosed who want support, best thing to do is go to the J9 website.
Yeah, seriously.
J9 is there for that. Yeah. The center
is more for research and development, 100%.
Yeah.
And may we continue to fight or dispel the myths around motor neuron disease. I thank you for joining us, and I thank you for your work. And I think that it's wonderful to have an anthology or to have a piece of work that not only sheds light on this man's life, but also sheds light on hope and courage and, most important, inspiration. And I think that's what your work has done. Thank you very much. It's appreciated.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Be well. Yes. That is Adette Schwegler, who is the producer and author of Glory Game, the US Fund of Esthazen story. And, of course, to my friend, we love you. We will always think of you. And don't worry, we'll meet again, my dear. That we shall. That I can tell you for free. This is for Yus van der Westhuizen and to all of those people suffering from this illness and have left this earth.
As I lay me down, I look to you.
And that's such a beautiful song, Whitney Houston's I Look to You. And it's It's a dedication to my friend Joost van der Westhuizen, and there is a public service tomorrow at Lofsters, starts at midday. And then, of course, there's a private service that will happen for family and friends as well tomorrow. Go well, my friend, and look down on us. That's what I got to say about that. What a nice, appropriate song. So, lots of things coming up on the show. The Unview doesn't generally start with dedications, but yeah, he's a legend, so it's the right thing to do. So we're talking about entertainment now. Let's move finally into the entertainment section. I do run out quickly because I thought I'm going to start bawling my eyes out, but I guess that's what we do in this world when you're sad. But we're going to start laughing because there's some fun things happening. I'm going to chat to Barry Hilton. He's coming on the show. And then we've got in studio at AKA Jericho, Ryan and Gerald Lotz. Boys, welcome to the show.
How you all?
It comes as close to microphones.
How you doing?
How you doing?
Okay, well, yeah.
We're going to be playing some. We're going to talk about you guys. Interesting. Firstly, your Legends of Jericho is now Jericho. And we're going to get into it in a moment, but you're my special guest in studio. But your music is DJing hip hop funk sexy with a bit of a twist. It looks up to heaven. I'm trying to work it out. I still haven't got it.
Okay.
It's a new genre, I think.
Yeah.
Just explain it to me. What is it?
Okay, so we actually defining it ourselves, but we're calling it future. It's future house, a mixture of future house.
Future house.
Yeah, and we're saying sexy house because
it's more sexy.
Yeah, it's kind of like our genre, although it's EDM music. So, we basically brought both of our talents. I've come from a classical sort of background. Love singing.
Well, you were an actor on Backstage.
Yeah.
And, of course, you've released albums.
Yeah.
And then you've also released in the religious spiritual sector.
100%, yeah.
Gospel.
Yes.
To some extent.
Gospel CDs, yeah.
Yeah. But this is different.
Yeah.
Do you sing with this?
Yes, we do, definitely. Yeah, you definitely hear my voice at some point. Yeah.
Okay. And then you guys are brothers, and you're now doing, you do the DJing side of it, the mixing. Right. Is that what we call it? Yeah. You see, I'm a bit, isn't it fun when someone is a little bit, doesn't know how it all works? I'm not a DJ.
Well, I do the DJing side of things. Mm-hmm. I've played in a couple of the clubs, and when Ryan and I got together, we felt that we had a unique sound, something that hasn't really been done in this country. And we've got a nice fusion, and it's something that is unique, but, you know, people kind of enjoy it.
We're going to listen to it a little bit later.
Yeah.
Praise
God.
Can't
wait.
Yeah. We're going to have some. This is going to be good. We're going to be rocking and rolling. From I look to you and crying to sexy music. Hey, the Unview, you never know what you're going to get. You just never know what you're going to get. All right. So on that note, we're going to get some other guests coming on to the show.
Okay.
We're chatting to you about some of the fun stuff that you do, and I want to also ask you about going back into television, because Backstage is no longer on TV.
No.
But I mean, there was quite an interesting program about young talent and how do we cultivate young talent.
Yeah.
On the line, I've got Henrik Heymans. Now, there's a very interesting little project. It's a festival, theatre festival. Let me tell you about this, guys. I find this fascinating. So you go into a room, and an actor, scriptwriter, it's a play that's been done, but it's a one-on-one play.
Okay.
So I perform to you.
Mm-hmm.
So let me give you an example. For example, let's say the plane is set up. It's a, I don't know what this, I'm just inventing one.
Mm-hmm.
This is not exactly one of them, but mm-hmm. it was a piece on suicide in the bath.
Okay.
So the person would be in the bath acting the piece for you, and you walk in one-on-one to watch the piece. So it's a one-on-one theatre experience.
Gee whiz. That's very original.
Now, I want to know a bit about it and exactly how it works. I've got Henrik Heymans, who's the spokesperson for Dyrnes One-on-One Theatre Festival. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. Tell us all about this, Henk.
Well, Dyrnes, as you said, it's one-on-one site-specific theatre. It's not really a new concept. Abroad, it's taken in... Edinburgh, it's a massive festival each year. We've just decided to bring it to South Africa. And so, there we go. We've got it now.
Okay, and tell us how it works or how do you... Okay, so I arrive. Where do I arrive? I arrive where?
Yeah, so what happens is because it's one-on-one theatre, We've got a couple of small pieces, each piece approximately from 15 minutes to 20 minutes long. You arrive, we take you by the hand, we take you into a room, and there you are for the remainder of those 15 minutes with an actor, you alone and the actor alone. And the actor then portrays a role and he plays his piece to you. You then kind of complete her story. You walk in as an audience member, but you also kind of play a role. Okay. So it's not just sitting and listening to a monologue. It's kind of a dialogue where the one person just doesn't respond.
Okay, so it's all right. And then after seeing that particular piece, do you move into another room? Is that how it works?
Yes. Well, we are running from Wednesdays to Sundays, and each evening we do six pieces. So a ticket gets you three pieces. So you come out of the room, we take you into a different room, and it's a completely different story, unrelated to the previous one, with a new
actor,
a new feeling and a new, a new actor and a new piece.
And sometimes the actors are portraying a script writer and director's piece. Sometimes they're doing their own piece. That's correct. So you often find that the actor's acting someone else's work, or you are you're doing your own piece. Is that correct?
Yes, we've been very privileged. We've a lot of people who really, really love this project, and unfortunately, we can't pay very well. So the people we've got doing this are doing it completely out of love. And sometimes it just happens that you can't find an actor that you want in a piece, so you'd rather just play it yourself. But we do, for most pieces, have an actor, a director, and a writer separately. But every now and then there's someone who they're going to do it better anyway.
And how much is it? I mean, it's something in the region of 150 Rand for three pieces.
Well, it's really cheap. You go and watch these kind of shows overseas, you end up paying like 2,000 Rand for a half an hour show. We give you three shows, each about 20 minutes long for 200 Rand.
So. Oh, 200, yeah.
But, yeah, it's unfortunately, it's very cheap. But for this type of theater that's still very new in South Africa, you can't really expect an audience to pay 500-600 Rand or even 2,000 Rand as they do overseas for something that they don't know what it's about and they don't know the experience yet. Every time we get someone coming back that saw the previous show, or someone just talking to people who see the show afterwards, they say that they would have paid so much more had they known what they came to see. But just for the newness of the project, you can't really aim high.
Give us an example of something that we can see. I mean, sorry, so just tell me, like, you don't have to go through the whole, but there's obviously, you walk into a room and there's what on the set? What is the set? What is the, give me an example.
Well, I'm going to give you an example of one that we're not doing in this run, just so that I don't spoil any stories.
Yes.
But one of the previous pieces played by Yannis Erasmus, a very talented guy, you walk into a room and there's a guy laying in the bath.
Yes.
And he's wearing his swim cap and his speedo, and he starts talking to you about how he misses school. And you realize, you as an audience member, you are the journalist coming to interview this ex-Olympian swimmer.
Sure.
And through the walk in the story, you realize that, okay, he has broken his neck in the pool previously, and he's just outing himself, doing the kind of like the swan song to you as a journalist, and you're there basically just trying to listen to everything and trying to assist, basically. He ends up asking you then to hand him a glass of water, and you unknowingly assist in his suicide.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's heavy.
Yeah,
it's a heavy piece.
It's fun. Yeah, it's a very heavy piece, but it's beautifully written, and most audience members walk out there feeling, feeling really involved, like they've mattered in some way to this person. And that's what we're trying to do with theaterness. We're trying to open up rooms, these tiny little things that people don't talk about every day. a mother loving one child more than another. People who don't know if their sexual orientation comes from being abused as a child or not, and now not being able to love their lovers because they're not sure where this love comes from. We're talking about issues that regular people, you're not going to sit in a bar and talk about this at all. And we're trying to get in there. And that's what one-on-one theater allows us to do. It allows you to jump into the audience member's mind and dig around there and try to change certain perceptions.
Well, I must tell you, it sounds fascinating. How can people book, Henk?
Well, they can go onto our Facebook page. Everything is there. All the links to the
and
booking.
It's under Deerness One-on-One Theatre.
Yes, so it's facebook.com/ Deerness, D-E-U-R-N-I-S. So it's not the Afrikaans D-E-E-R. It's an amalgamation of two words.
Okay. All right. Well, this is it sounds very interesting, and it's happening every week. You said Wednesdays through to Saturdays, Sundays.
Yes, we are currently in our second run. We started last night. Tremendous, tremendous response. And, so we'll be running until the 26th of Feb in Raslow and Centurion at St. Day Spa. Lovely spa.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you for joining us on the show. And, of course, we look forward to seeing it. It's Deerness One-on-One Theatre Festival. And thank you to Henk Heymans, who's the spokesperson for them. It's very interesting. Very different. Very different.
Yeah, really. Does sound different.
Yeah.
Sounds interesting.
Now going from complete difference to brilliance, the one and only. I mean, he is the cousin, Barry Hilton. Barry takes to this. How are you, Barry? It's called.
I am fantastic. I live in Amana, so how else can I be?
Oh, no, it's beautiful. You've got the whales. You've got the. I actually bumped into you there a couple of weeks ago, which is brilliant.
You did. It was fantastic. You were just finishing that filming.
Fantastic. Barry, first and foremost, this is very, I mean, this is, the theatre we were just chatting about is quite interesting. It's one-on-one theatre, but you rely on an audience. That's what makes you tick. You need to have the big audience.
Absolutely. Even in my latest show, I've finally done what I've wanted to do for many, many years. I don't script my show at all now. I just get on stage. It's called Evolver. Mm-hmm. I say, hello, how are you? I start off with the thing that's in my head at the moment. I have a very loose thread about mathematics that I'm talking at the moment, and then I go from there. And it's just, I'm having the best fun I've ever had in my whole career, because I don't have to think, okay, this joke follows that joke follows this. I just flow, and it's great fun.
We're going to chat about the Big Five comedy show returning back by popular demand happening in Cape Town next month. But Barry, I mean, you are an institution, and I've got to tell you, because as a Lebanese South African, you were our man. You were our hey. People went mad if you had Barry. You know, people. You were our celebrity. I mean, you were our big boss. I think you raised so much money for the church and for so many things in the community. You know, you have. But
Raymond Ackerman said something. If you want the community to support you, you should first support the community. And I live by that.
Barry, I mean, you keep people laughing. Has the shtick changed over the years?
Oh, yes. When I started, it was just jokes. You know, two Irishmen walking down the road, or two hayas walking down the road, and this would happen. Now I just talk about life, what happens in life, and how you do this, and da-da-da. And I just talk about my experiences, just what happens. Driving to Pretoria, one day something happened, and this and that. So the stick has changed completely. It's same like music. Music's evolved, you know, from rock and roll to where it is now. So if you stay in the backgrounds, you're not going to go forward. You have to move forward. You have to go forward. Luckily, I have a little exercise that I do. I write 10 seconds of new material every day, which doesn't sound much. But if you can count it over the year, it's over an hour's new material. So I keep my show fresh all the time.
So what did you write today or yesterday?
Today I was at the physio, and he was sticking needles in all over me. And I asked the guy, I said, listen, Blue, are you sure you're not, this is a double job, you're not
part of an S&M group or something like that. So we just started talking about that. I said, why don't you just rather beat me with a whip that's less painful? So then I'll go now and I'll take that and say, how do the people do that? And some people like pain. For instance, I must really like pain because I've been married 3 times. And then that's how I'll go on and then just carry on with it. My wife, she's pretty cool. Da, 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 da. Yeah, so that's what happens. And I like pain because I've got 6 children. Have you thought about this? Why do I have 6 children? There's a reason why I've got 6 kids. I hate children. I just like playing with Lego. So I use my kids so I can play my Lego.
I mean, you used your kids 20 years ago. I mean, are you a grandfather yet?
5 times. And I've got 6 children. My youngest boy is 6. So my oldest, my daughter's 38 and my youngest is 6. Yeah. And then people obviously ask me, Jay, you've got 6 kids. Do you know what's causing it? Clearly, females.
Maybe I could think something between your leg could be causing it, but that's just me.
Yeah, probably. In fact, you know, there's a funny story. Yeah. That my son, Bradley, he's also in our business. He's got 3 children. And he said to me one day over dinner, Dad, you know, I've got 3 kids now. It must be something in the genes. And I said to him, mate, on your case, it's what's out of the genes. It's the same principle. And then we talk about that and we have a laugh and we do stuff. But the fact that I'm still working, I just love it. You know, on Tuesday, I'm off to Hong Kong.
That's amazing.
And I'm doing Hong Kong, Singapore, Kuala Lumpur, and I'm back again. And I'm going to Canada, and then I'm back again. So it's overjoyed.
Barry,
I love my job.
Barry, can I ask this question? You go off to a place like Hong Kong, British orientated, Chinese orientated, or Mandarin orientated. Yeah. Do they get your stuff?
Absolutely, because for a start, comedy's become rock and roll, and we've got everybody. If you go to a comedy club, you therefore must understand English.
Oh, yes.
So you go to if I perform in Hong Kong and that, there's probably 30 different nationalities there. But basically they all have a thread of English and people talk English. And it's not, you know, when I'm in South Africa, I'll talk about having a samosa in Cape Town, okay? But when I'm overseas, I can't talk about that. But I'll talk about having kids and the pain of having kids because everybody's had kids and what relationships and playing football and people have done that. So as long as they can talk English, they're fine.
Well, I must say you've been in our life and you've been a thread in my life for time immemorial. I mean, we're getting old, aren't we, Barry? Very old.
Well, yeah.
As old as the woman you feel. How old's your wife?
41.
Sure. You see, the oldest.
No, I'm 61. She's 42. And when we got married, I thought I'll take a chance. I thought to myself, if she dies, she dies. Now, we've been together now for 12 years, and she's actually responsible for keeping me on the straight and narrow. I was a bit of a lunatic, a wild boy. It's fine.
Well, listen, early on in the show, we had Stephen de Blanche, we had Jeremy Mansfield on the show, we were chatting about Jos van der Westhuizen, and I must say we were all wild and fun and cool. I mean,
yeah,
it's a little crazy.
I think we were wild, but in a nice
wild. Not rubbish wild.
Yeah, we weren't bad people. Yeah, we weren't rubbish actually. But you know, the fact that you're an artist, Ellen, and I'm an artist, we all basically in this artistic business, we think differently from the general public, unfortunately, or fortunately. Mm. Because, you know, we just look at things differently. And so I go around the world. Imagine that. I just go around the world talking nonsense about my life, and I actually am privileged enough that I fill venues. You know, last January, not this January, in fact, this time last year, I was in Sydney. I filled the Sydney Opera House. And here's a funny thing. I tell people, oh, yeah, I just did the Sydney Opera House, and the first thing they say is, oh, yes, there's a lot of South Africans in Australia. And I tell the people, no, listen to what I'm telling you now. I filled the Sydney Opera House. Yeah. So they say, oh, well, did they come from Perth and Melbourne? And he's like, no. Half the audience were, you know, non-South Africans. So it's pretty cool. I mean, look, you know, you've got to say, how does South African humor travel? You've only got to mention Trevor Noah's name. You know, he's world famous. And he's a South African boy. So good luck to him. And I think Trevor has done a wonderful job of opening up opportunities, even for bullies like me, you know, because people now sit up and say, oh, South African guy, must be good.
Well, I mean, if you look at the great South African comedians, you are one of them. And I'm going to add, of course, we've got people like Joe, and we've got people like
Mel
Miller, and we've got the late Cyril. But you think Peter Dirk Ace has got to be one of...
Phenomenal.
That goes
Peter
around
Dirk
the world.
Ace is phenomenal. He goes around the world. He's got a huge following all over the world. And you know, so people seem to think that South Africa is only about... black guys walking on the left-hand side of the road and white guys walking on the right-hand side of the road. And actually, people have asked me that. You know that? Overseas. Mm. Is it true that white people walk on the right-hand side of the road and black people walk on the left-hand side? And I say, yes. Mathematically, the whole of South Africa consists of two squares. There's a square for those people and a square for those people. And they go, really? Is that how it works? No, don't you flipping idiot.
Do they still ask you if they're diamonds in the streets or if our elephants are our pets?
Yes. Lions and tigers, and I say, well, you've got a half right. The tigers come from India.
Barry, again, a life of comedy. Are you returning for the Big Five comedy show, Returns by Popular Demand, to the Grand Arena in Cape Town next month?
Yes.
Great to perform with people like Stuart Taylor, Joey Rizdeen.
Joey's a nutcase.
He is a nutcase. He's crazy.
I love working with Joey because he's just he's unpredictable and he's just funny and you know what the best is, Alan? I can say this with all sincerity. Joey is a nice person. That's the most important. Most of the comics are nice people. People don't realize that they are normal oaks and go home to their wives and kids and, you know, partners and things like that.
And
nice people.
And people that are sad sometimes and frustrated sometimes, and people they think that you're there that you're funny all the time. You know, yes, that is your job, but it's not your life. I mean, your life is just
I do a talk about my life, and part of the talk is about getting over sadness through humor, and a true story happened. My brother subsequently died of cancer, but he phoned me up and he said to me, I've got terminal cancer, the doctor hasn't given me long, what should I do? And my instant response to him was, well, commit fraud, because when they catch you, the judge will give you 9 years. So my brother and I laughed about it, even though he was about to, and did, die. Mm. He laughed at the fact, Dave, you're a nutcase. I said, well, what can I do? And I used that mechanism to get myself over that terrible part of my life, because my brother was about busy dying.
The interesting thing is that we opened the show with a dedication to rugby legend Joos van der Westhuizen, and a very good friend of mine.
Yes, absolutely.
And I've got to tell you that we started laughing because he said he used to slur. When he started getting sick, he started slurring, and he mumbled.
Yes.
And we were in Dubai, and we were on a trip together. So he says to me, whatever you do, don't forget to take the doctor's letter. And I said, of course, because they didn't want to allow us into any clubs or pubs or in the whole of Atlantis
because
they thought he was drunk. So I thought, so I said, grab his arm. I said, at least I don't think you're gay. So let's just and we had to walk in. The way we laughed about it, because it was really funny. It was funny.
Absolutely.
I mean, I used to say to him, you know, I used to always say, I said, you got your sentence. The rest of us don't know we're going to die yet. That's funny. Because it's hell of a funny.
Yeah.
No one gets it.
Yes.
You know, I said, at least you know you're going. You can prepare. The rest of us we're not.
Yeah, you've got to remember him with a laugh and memories.
And crazy, crazy, crazy things. I just said to him,
I mean,
and I'm saying,
93 tries or something like that. And
I said brilliant.
To him one day, why do they call it a try when you've just done it?
I said to him, oh, you see, Barry, Barry's on. But the last thing I'll end with is, I said to him once, and he laughed. I said, if you ever insult your penis again, I will knock you out. That is your side of message you should have said, if you know what I'm referring to. Because it was really funny when he said, that's not me, it's too big. I'm like, shut up, you idiot. It's exactly what it looks like. Here's a boor, you know, enjoy what it is.
Yes, that was funny when you said that, though.
No, but you know, the fact of the matter is,
tragedy happened. Let's remember him fondly.
You know what, can I tell you? You were so good looking. I wish you was my side of the story, because I would have fondled everything about that.
Oh, Dan, I cut it for you, Alan. That's okay. I'm hurt.
You've been married 3 times with 6 kids and 5 grandchildren. Let me tell you, you should have gone the other direction. You wouldn't have the problems. That's just me.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Pro-homosexual.
You could have looked after me.
Okay.
All right, my friend.
All right, well, I bless you. And again, we look forward to seeing the show. It's
absolutely
the Big Five comedy show. It's coming back.
Melissa Gola, Cariso, Stuart, myself. And yeah, it's great. You know, we're going to have really good fun. It was wonderful last time, and so that people have asked
us. For one night only, the 4th of March, 8 o'clock, Grand Arena, Tapley, Grand West. And safe travels and lots of fun, and enjoy Hermanus, enjoy the whales. Well, hold on, Zach, walking.
I'll phone you from Hong Kong, okay?
You know, some of those lebs are big, so it's basically in leb territory.
Yes.
Oh, you've got to get it. If you know our aunties, God bless you. And that's Barry Hilton, comedian. It is nice to have a bit of a laugh.
It was a good laugh.
Absolutely.
In studio, my special guests, Ryan Lotz and Jared Lotz, the AKA Jericho. I want to just see, now can you, I want to hear what you do. They are, again, describe, if people have just started listening to us, what is the music called again?
Okay, so it's a mixture of, well, it's a future house, but it's like we're calling it sexy house.
Yeah, it's got combinations of deep and future house in it.
So can we listen to it? Which one? The first one?
The first one, yeah, it's called Kaleidoscope.
Let's listen to Kaleidoscope. Oh, there's the sea.
Yeah. One of people who feel like you're at the ocean.
Let's listen to this. Oh, it's nice. Catchy, eh?
You like it, eh?
I like it.
I'm glad.
It's really good.
I'm glad.
Seriously, really, really good. I love the strumming in the beginning.
Yeah.
The beat is great.
It's awesome.
It's got a good groove.
Yeah, it's got a groove.
Yeah.
Kaleidoscope. Why did you name it Kaleidoscope?
Well, it's basically about, you know, when you look into a kaleidoscope and there's a whole bunch of shapes, colors, and it's basically telling this person that if you could see into my mind, there's a whole bunch of things that I think about this topic, and if you can get into my mind, you'll understand, you know, how I'm thinking about this subject, this very private subject. Yeah. Don't turn around and go and pin it all on me. You walked away, that's how it seems. But it's not over, I remember where we've been. If you could get to Colossus.
So if you picture the kaleidoscope, dimensions, colours, dreams.
100%.
AKA Jericho's in studio, Ryan and Gerard Lotz. That's good stuff.
I'm glad
we can play the next one in a moment. So, again, inspiration when you write the music, where's it coming from?
Gee, if I could tell you that. You know, I think we draw from our own personal areas, you know.
You spoke about gospel, so I would imagine God is a big role.
100%, John. 100%. So that's our center, you know, is God. And then, you know, it really depends on where you are at in your life, you know. So if you're going through, you know, amazing times, you're right from that place. If you're going through sad times, you're right from that place.
I want to say something interesting about this. A lot of whites... I'm going to do this. It's a hell of a generalization. But I mean, have you noticed black artists, they can be the biggest rappers saying the most dirty words, but they always stand up and they thank God. They use it as their center pull in some sense. Okay. Okay. And these white people, you can't use God when you're raving, and you can't use God on a dance floor.
100%.
But really?
No.
Well, I mean, that's a part of what it all is.
Yeah,
isn't
that's what it comes from.
That's exactly. I get confused.
The inspiration has got to come from somewhere.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, but I always see that they get up the Academy Award or the Emmy Awards, and they're all like, praise Jesus and thank you, my God. And the whites go, oh, we can't do that. No. Do you know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I say. When it's, who inspired Kaleidoscope? Who inspired this music? I mean, that is to say that.
100%,
And then, of course, you guys, working as brothers, do you fight a lot? Have you worked together? You had an acting, you were in
backstage.
And theatre and that previously.
Yeah.
And you were doing
the
DJing thing. And now, what made you come together in your 30s? Because you're in your 30s.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you from my side of things is, you know, I'm a recovering addict. I'm sober now and... Mm-hmm. Talking about God, and I asked God one day, what should I do with my life? And I just got this feeling that this is where I needed to be. And Ryan and I, almost at the same time, kind of came together.
That's what you got to do.
And from my
pull
side,
your head out your ass and get on with it.
That's it.
Really, because you get stuck.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, we don't want to be stuck. That's not a cool thing.
You don't want to be stuck.
That's why you'd rather live in a world of kaleidoscopes where things are changing. But you don't have to be in the kaleidoscope being on another planet.
Yeah.
Catch my drift. I'd rather sing it than be there in that situation. And AKA Jericho, why is it Jericho?
Well, originally it was called Legacy. So
It moved from Legacy to Jericho.
To Jericho, yeah. So we just changed that recently, you know, because we've been trying to get some airplay, you know.
And there's another group called Legacy.
About a thousand groups called Legacy.
Yeah, and songs called Legacies. So fantastic. He said, okay, let's change that, please.
Yeah.
And we actually had a guy named Dave.
Dave Talbot.
Yeah, Dave Talbot, yeah. And he gave us this idea of Jericho.
Mm.
The idea of, basically a big wall. You know the story of Jericho?
Yeah,
a big wall. Something that was impossible, but they believed enough in God, and it came tumbling down. Yeah,
that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
So that's why you... The market's going to come tumbling down, you guys. the music, where can we get it?
So we've got a Facebook page. It's called Jericho Beats.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a SoundCloud page as well called Jericho Beats.
Mm-hmm.
And... we are also on iTunes as well. One of our songs is on iTunes.
Lovely. Which one? Kaleidoscope?
No, Holding On is on.
It's the next one.
And, we actually, on iTunes, we haven't officially changed the name because it's actually been a week since we've changed our name. So we haven't officially changed it on iTunes, where you can find it as Legacy.
Well, I'm happy I've had you guys on. Before you become super famous and like all that.
We're cool also
stuff.
Happy. Yeah, we're charged.
I love it. They were charged. Oh, goodness. Yeah, okay, we'll go with that one. But so people can go just download it. It's called Jericho. It's all changing quickly. Go to the Facebook page.
Yeah.
And guys, a lot of success, a lot of great things. And hopefully an album comes out soon.
Yeah. Thanks, God. Absolutely.
When is the plan?
Well,
you've released two albums before.
Yeah, but we're
but this is
not,
different.
Yeah,
different
not
genre,
on this platform. Yeah.
This is another platform. Yeah,
you know, albums are not really where the market is at the moment. It's all really based around singles now, so there's no really talk of albums. But
okay, but I mean,
it's all in the pipeline.
But we need to get you on stage. You're going to be doing like a David, like a thing. Doing that stuff. Oh, and that's because this is cool things. Thank you for joining us in the studio. My very special guests, Ryan and Jared Lotz.
Oh, thank you.
AKA Jericho.
Jericho, yeah.
And we're gonna play their next song in a moment. I thank all my special guests, Barry Hilton, for joining us. We had the 1&1 Theatre Festival Dearness. And of course, dedication to US Fund of Estes. Van der Westhuizen with Stefan Terblanche, Jeremy Mansfield, Adit Schwechler. It's been a great show. Keep him in your memories, and of course, let's always remember the great legends that we have all around us that make this world phenomenally brilliant, and that make they transform their lives in some way. That's the key, absolutely. By the way. See, we all fall.
Yeah.
And we all rise. The question is that we must rise more than we fall. And that's the point.
Yeah.
Get up and get up. Mm. My name is Alan Ford, and this has been The Unview. The Thin, the Rich, and the Fabulous. So we're going to end off. What's the name of the song?
Holding On.
Holding On. Let's go Holding On. Let's see where we're going to hold on for something. Here we go. This is Holding On, a.k.a. Jericho. I love the strumming. I love it.
I like it, huh?
Very good.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week. Here on The Unview, The Thin, the Rich, and the Fabulous. Look after yourself and be safe.
The Unview, The Thin, The Rich, and The Fabulous on CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.